Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, I want us to go to Psalm 144, and we'll start there, Psalm 144, and I want to read a verse out of there, and then we're going to just, maybe a short message tonight, and that'll be okay. We can always make up for it later. Psalm 144, and then again, it may not. I don't know. We'll see. Psalm 144, and verse 15. Got it?
Got it.
It says, happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'm going to just spend a little time about talking about this, about choosing to be happy.
Amen.
How you know it's a choice. And I thought it was interesting that Brother Greg, said when he started out after the first song, he said, if you weren't happy when you come in, you are now. I thought, well, there's my confirmation, that we're supposed to talk about being happy. And, because as believers, we ought to be happy.
Yeah.
Amen. Actually, the church should be the happiest place on earth, but you got to enter in if it's going to be that way for you, You got to enter into what all is available through the church, through the Word of God. You got to enter into it and to be happy. I don't know if you've ever gone there, but I've gone there a number of times over the years with grandkids to a place called Chuck E. Cheese. You ask a kid what's the happiest place on earth, they probably don't know. They think Chuck E. Cheese is or Disneyland, and those places like that, Disneyland, and I like Chuck E. Cheese, but Disneyland is like nowhere to me. But anyway, because I don't dig all the hassle and crowds, but just think, what if you took your kid to Chuck E. Cheese and you said, now here's the rules, you can't play any of the games, you can't get up from the table, and you can't have any pizza. How much fun do you think they're going to have? I mean, it's all around you. I mean, I admit, I like to go to Chuck E. Cheese to play the games. The pizza's pretty good. It's okay, but I like to play. I play the games. I was like, kids, get lost. Give me some tokens. And Pastor Chuck, I think secretly he still sneaks off there during the day and goes and plays whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Isn't that the game? He liked whack-a-mole. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, but you got to enter in. How many know that? And when I go there with the kids, I'd enter in. I'd eat the pizza, and I remember then, I don't know if they have that anymore. They used to have the band, the bear and all that. And I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to have the band and they would come out and play and freak about half the kids out. Ah! I would just, I'd go play the games, I'd like to play the games and stuff too. I like, leave me alone, kids, I'm playing. You go do something, but you got to enter in. How many got to enter in?
Amen.
And you could come to church and you could say, well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, you're not entering in. You have to enter in.
That's right.
You have to go play the game, so to speak. Yeah. Amen. You got to eat the pizza. You got to jump in. Hallelujah. And if you do that, because God's into this, people sometimes, they think about Jesus, and you hear this religiously, you hear the man of sorrows. Well, you need to read that a little closer because the Bible says he was acquainted with sorrows and griefs, but he took ours. That's why he's acquainted with it. In his life, the Bible says, walking the earth, the Bible said he was anointed with the oil of gladness above everybody else. See, people sometimes get misconceptions about God that he's just sober, and he never has any fun and he never laughs, but that's not a true picture of God. Jesus had, remember what I said, Jesus had was anointed, the Bible said, with the oil of gladness more than his companions, the Bible says, or more than anybody else. So he had more joy than anybody else. Are you with me now? So, in other words, when Jesus was alive, he was the happiest person on the planet. He was the gladdest person on the planet. Does that sound like some of the things you see in religion? I mean, I've watched some of the religious movies about Jesus some years ago, and he just looked like he was just not in contact with reality. Honestly, he looked like somebody's been doing too much LSD. Just starry-eyed cat staring off into space. I thought, you know, I've got friends that look like that. That's not Jesus. How do you know God's happy? We read his book. He said, "Enter." He said. In Psalm 100 is really interesting because he says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. What? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So that's a happy person. Know ye that the Lord He is God. It's He that made us, and not we ourselves. So." In other words, God said, "Yeah, you know, I made you, so if I tell you to do something, you probably should snap to it." You ever told your kids, "We brought you in the world, we can take you out"? You said, "No, but now that I've heard that, I will." Okay. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless Him, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. So God's saying, if you're going to come in my presence, I don't want any grumpy people in my presence. Right. Now think about it. The Ephesians says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I wasn't much of a wine drinker, but I drank everything else. Amen. Well, what happens when you drink alcohol? If you drink enough of it, what happens? She gets sick. She got sick. We don't do that now, okay? Look, I'm asking BC before Christ. I'm not asking right now. Hopefully you're not doing any of that right now, all right? You a teetotaler? Yes, I'm a teetotaler. I got delivered from it. Why would I want to go back to it? Are you with me now? Well, a little bit won't hurt you. Well, let me tell you something. You just give the devil an inch and he'll drive your life. Are you with me now? And you tell that to the people that messed around with it, and then they ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff. You can tell me it's a good thing. It's not of God. It's of the devil. All right. Now, moving on. Praise the Lord. But how many know, a lot of people, when they drink, they get really joyful. They get silly. Some people get mean. But I think probably the majority, is you ever see drunk people, they just act goofy, man. What happened? Well, they got under the influence, see. And God's talking about don't do that, but get filled with the Spirit. Get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah. And he tells you, he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God the Father for all things. So what is he saying? Well, if you're going to have the Holy Spirit's presence strong in your life, you're going to have to be a happy, joyful person, because he's not going to hang around with you if you don't. He'll love you. He won't leave you and forsake you, but he's not going to be able to manifest because he didn't manifest in that kind of environment. Right. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me out now. So we have to understand. See, joy, you see, the Bible says the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's not, listen, God is a joyful, happy God. I was thinking about animals. You know, you ever seen a little puppy and how they just tear loose, man? I mean, they just get on a tear, man. They're having fun, and I mean, they may have eaten three or four of your shoes, but they're having a blast. You know, they may have dug up, you know, your yard, but they're just having fun, man. They're just, you know, and they're playing. We had a cat. She was our cat, so she went, passed on. And we had her for 15 years, and I would see her do some of the funniest, silliest, goofiest things. I mean, she would pretend that she was being attacked by birds. She would go, all of a sudden, bam, it hit her, and she'd get this wild look on her face, and she'd start looking up all around her, her head jerking everywhere, scrouch down, and act like she's, you know, getting attacked by birds, you know, and gonna be the, you know, big, you know, lion and take them out. And just run around the yard, I mean, just zip, 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 you know. She's just having a blast. She doesn't care who's looking. And, you know, that little puppy that just has fun. Well, you know what? God made them. He put that in them. That came out of Him. I don't think you're hearing me. See, you know, God has fun. I remember, you know, years ago when we had a move of God. Some of you remember that, where Holy Ghost laughter would break out. A lot of people had issues with it, but that's just because they're stuck. There's prudes, religious. I mean, how could laughing and getting blessed be of the devil? I mean, we'd just be in service, you know. I was preaching one night for a church, and the Holy Ghost laughter broke out. And I decided that night, you know, I'm gonna preach my sermon anyway. It took me 2.5 hours, but I got it. Praise God. And when I preached that long, I'd have to stop, you know, until people collected themselves again. I'm up there preaching, and this was a pastor. Next thing I know, he's rolling on the floor up to my feet, laughing. If I don't believe that's God, well, he got blessed out of it, you know. God got glory and got praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's one thing. You know, when Finney was preaching one time, you know, he had a meeting where the power of God fell, and people started trying to come up to the altar, and they did the same thing. They fell on the floor before they ever got up there to the altar and began to laugh. And next thing you knew, there was a pile of them, and he'd never seen it before. And they asked Mr. Finney, some of the people there, well, you think this is God? He said, I don't know. He said, when they come out of this, whoever gets the praise did it. Well, when they came out, they were praising God. He said, it's God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. See, sometimes we get this thing in our mind, and this religious thing. I'm not blaming you, but I'm just saying sometimes people get it in their mind that, you know, God is just, he's just a strict man. He's just sitting on his throne with a fly swatter, just waiting for you to make a mistake or get out of line. He's going to swat you good. Well, if that were the case, we'd all be swatted. They wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of greasy spots on this planet.
Amen.
Where he squished us. You know, he could. How do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know how you take care of a fly. God could take care of all of us like that in one. Shoop. But he's not that way. He's full of joy.
Yes.
Well, I just don't know. I just don't know, Pastor. We'll just stay stuck in the mud and don't ever have any joy or happiness. But God wants you to have it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know, so we're going to talk about this just for a little bit. I'm not going to preach long, but you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, I forget where I was reading this or saw this. I can't remember, but and this was, I don't know where it was at now, where I saw it, but medical science has figured out that if you can get people laughing, it promotes healing. Well, that's the Bible. It does good like a medicine, right? Medicine's to help you out, right? Medicine's to heal you, right? And so I say it does good like a medicine. Joy, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, how many know when you lose that joy, how many know you just lose your zest for life, right? Come on. And so you say, well, Pastor, not all my circumstances are good. Well, they never will be probably until you get to heaven. We're going to talk about that in a little bit because we're not ignoring that people have issues. But I want to talk to you about what to do with that. But, you know, if you wait till your circumstances are all right, guess what? You're never going to have joy. You're never going to have happiness in life. Well, you know, when everything lines up, you know, when all the kids are acting right, well, tell me how that happens. You know, when everything around the house is going smooth, there's nothing breaking down, the car's running good, the air conditioner's working, and the refrigerator's working and all that, and everything's working good. Well, all right, thank God for that. But guess what? That doesn't bring happiness. I'm glad my fridge is working. Car's in the shop right now, so I could be unhappy tonight. Car's in the shop. My wife's driving my truck. Come on. I don't have any wheels. I need an Uber app or something. And so, so anyway, you can't, I'm just saying to you, not everything's always going to line up. And so you can't wait until it lines up, decide I'm going to be happy. Well, I'm going to be happy, you know, when I get rich. Well, that's nice, but that's not the answer. Amen. So we have to understand, the reason we're happy is because we belong to the Lord.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've always said, I say this a lot. I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, because I don't get tired of saying it. But if God never did anything else for me but save me, I got enough to shout about until I get to heaven.
Right.
I never get healed again. He never blesses me, which he will. He already has. You know, it's already provided. But I'm just making this statement, hypothetical. If he never did anything for me again, if he never blessed me, I never answered another one of my prayers, I got nothing to complain about. He got me out of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that's good enough to shout about. Amen. Hallelujah. And smile about.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. And be happy about.
That's right.
And live happy.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm happy because I'm saved. My God is the Lord.
Right. Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know what the Bible said, Psalm? Yes. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Now, not everything goes right all the time. So what do you do in those cases, Pastor? What do we do? Well, go over to 1 Samuel 30. Let me read this. And believe it or not, I'm about to wind down here. I guess you didn't believe it. All right. Bunch of unbelievers. Well, you know, we have to choose. See, that's the title of the message, choose happiness. You got to choose. Remember Deuteronomy said, I call heaven and earth the record this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. It's your choice. You can choose to be sour in life or you can choose to be happy. Amen. It isn't about what people do to you. It's about what God has done for you.
Right.
Man, I'll tell you what. I've been treated every which way by people.
Right.
Thank God they're not, you know. Dr. Summerall used to say this. He said, my joy is not in your head or somebody else's head.
Yeah. Right.
What you think about me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, one pastor, lady pastor, that says this. She says, I belong to the, how is it she says it? I belong to the I don't give a royal rip club. Because, you know, people will express their opinions and the only opinion that matters is God's.
Yes.
Well, I don't like the way you preach. Well, I don't give a royal rip.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean that cocky, but I'm just saying, you know, if as long as God's happy, I'm all right. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like the way you take up offerings. Well, I don't give a royal rip. So you can't let people get in your head. You know, you don't be arrogant, misunderstand me, but I'm just simply making a point that if you just listen to everybody's opinion about you, yeah, you're going to be unhappy. Amen.
Right.
Now, and you know, you could smile every once in a while when I'm preaching, it'd help. First Samuel 30, did you go there?
Yeah.
All right, verse 1. It says, it came to pass when David and his men were come from Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, David's been off. He's actually at this time, he's out of Israel because of King Saul, you know, going to kill him and chasing him. And he's actually in the land of the Philistines. And so he has an affinity with, you know, the king of the Philistines, Achish. And so he's one of his men now. And so they're getting ready to go to war, and David and his men are going to, they're joining Achish to go to war because David's a mighty warrior, you know. And so he's going to war, and some of the leaders of the Philistines said, now, wait a minute here, this man's not going with us. What if, because they were going to fight against Israel. And they said, what better way for him to reconcile to King Saul than him turn against us in battle, and he's a mighty man of war. You tell him to go home. So while they're gone on 3 days journey going back home, their city where they lived at gets invaded. You know, Achish should give David Ziklag to live. And it says in verse 2, and they had taken the women captives and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, you know, this is not a happy day.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not standing up here as a pastor or just as a person saying to you that every day you're just going to walk around with all this exuberant joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you're going to have days. But don't camp there.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I remember we came through this teaching. It wasn't of God, but it was a teaching that was widely accepted that you praise God for everything. I got cancer. Praise the Lord. I had a car wreck. Praise the Lord. You know, my spouse left me. Praise the Lord. No, that's just dumb. You praise God in the midst of everything, but not for everything. He didn't cause everything. And that was a widely accepted teaching years ago. It was a dumb teaching. I said it was a dumb teaching. And there's still a lot of dumb teachings out there that aren't scriptural. But I'm not one of these people that thinks every day you're just going to walk around on cloud nine. No, you still deal with life. All right? But I'm talking about where we camp. Are you listening to me now? Where are you camping at? There are some believers that are camping in the land of unhappiness. You need to get out of there and start partaking what's available to you through this new covenant. Well, I would, you know, if everybody'd act right, you know, and everything would go right. Well, then you're just too fickle to even, I don't know. I'll leave that alone. All right. Something's wrong with you. Amen. Because that's not the way we're supposed to be. Now notice this. Verse 4, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice this. The King James says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So he did something, didn't he? He started partaking of something that was available through the Lord his God, which was encouragement. Now, it doesn't tell us how he did it, but I've got a feeling, you know, David's the one that wrote the Psalms, in case you don't know. And he talks many places in there about God being a deliverer. I got a feeling he reminded himself of who God is, and that even though the church, his church, is ready to, they're not just going to vote him out, they're going to stone him out. Even though that's going on, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for somebody to encourage me. Well, maybe they will and maybe they won't, but you can dip in yourself. And notice, and David said to Abiathar, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. That's what they used to inquire of the Lord in those days. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now notice this. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, notice this, recover all. Everybody say, recover all. You'll get it all back. But what if he had camped in verse 4? What if he had camped right there? And they never... He regained his composure. Come on, we've all been hit with things that, you know, knocked your head where your feet are at, or your feet where your head are at. We've all been hit with stuff like that. And we've all had those days. We've all had things come our way, but we can't live there. We can't stay there. We gotta press on, because God's got something better for us than living in that land where we've been plundered and stole from. Right? Now, this isn't negative, but I don't care who you are and how much faith you have. There's going to be times the devil's going to shoot fiery darts at you. He's going to attack you. He's going to try to plunder you. He's going to try to steal from you. But God's answer is always going to be the same. Get yourself encouraged, boy. Get yourself encouraged, girl. And pursue after this troop, and you'll recover all. Amen. That's God's word to us. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not just to David. That's to us. Right. But we can't stay at verse 4. We've got to choose. I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to let this keep me down. Well, Pastor, you just never been through some things that's got you down. Man, I tell you, I've told you my stories before about how I almost quit. Not God. I knew better than that, but I thought there's no point in me sticking around in the ministry. I can find something easier to do than this, but you can't stay there. I remember one time being so low, so down. You know, I know the faith scriptures. I know where my faith tapes are at. I just don't feel like listening to them right now. I want to have a pity party. All right, is that all right with you? It's not always all right with God, but that's what I want to do. And I remember some guy, the Lord sent him. There's no doubt the Lord's trying to help me. Sent a guy to encourage me. He came over to the house to encourage me. I ran him off. Now, I'm a nice guy. I don't usually do stuff like that. But when you get so low, you'll do things that isn't even your nature. And so I ran him off. Get out of here. I don't want to hear this. Move. Get. I remember Sergeant Carter. Get. He left. And after he left, the Lord spoke to me. I will never forget it as long as I live. What he said to me, I will never forget it. It was like his, you know, I didn't see him. Don't misunderstand me. But it was like he came into the room where I was at. It's like his presence came in. You know, when something supernatural comes in, you know. And so there I am, you know. I was watching a basketball game when he came over. So I was really doing something really spiritual, you know. And so anyway, and he came in, and the Lord came into my room, and here's what he said. I heard this as plain as if you'd have spoken it to me. He said this to me. He said, I will cry with you all the way down and not be able to help you if you don't use your faith. Now, that sobered me up because I thought, you know what? God said, I'm going down if I continue on this road. That did something for me that night. I'm glad God sent the guy over, even though I ran him off. I'm glad he sent him over because after he left, that's when God spoke to me and said, okay, because he tried to help me through this guy, and I wouldn't accept that. So God, you know, threw me a lifeline, and he spoke to me himself by his spirit. I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it inside of me just as plain as if somebody said it out loud. And I realized God said, I analyzed what he said. I will cry with you all the way down. I will have compassion on you. I will love you. But you're going down if you keep going the way you're doing. You're going to have to do something about it. You, like David, what God say, you got to go recover it all. Hallelujah. You got to take back what was stolen. And what the devil had stole at that time, he stole my peace, my joy, and my happiness through trials and persecution and stuff going on. And so that was a turning point for me right then. And that whole thing turned around when I realized this. God's telling me, there's nothing he can do for me if I don't do something. Boy, it is quiet in here. Hallelujah. All right. This wasn't as big a hit as I thought it would be, Father. I thought it would be happy. I thought it would be encouraging, but it looks like they're worse off than they were before they came. So maybe I better just let the saints march out. This is good news that God's got something. I said, this is good news, man. I mean, I want to be real with you. I don't want you to think that we just float through life and everything, like Brother Hagin used to say, that you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease and never have any issues. He said, if you think that, you got another thing coming. Sometimes you got to fight life through, amen? You know, Brother Hagin used to tell the Rhema students, he said, if you came here, you know, he said this. His son said that. Well, here's what Brother Hagin said. He said, some of you think you're living by faith. He said, you come here to Rhema, you drive a Cadillac, you eat T-bone steaks. He said, you're no more living by faith than I'm an astronaut. You, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but you were rich before you came here. You're rich before you met God. You just had it already. He said, I used to drive my car at night because I was afraid all the tires were going to blow out, and still preach on prosperity. Amen. Have holes in my shoes. Block of the hat wore out. Seat of the pants wore out. And preach on prosperity. And trust God for the next meal. He said, that's living by faith. Now, like he said, you won't stay there if you live by faith. You'll come up. But, you know, he said, some of you don't know what living by faith is. Amen. All right. Now, all right. So he said, recover all. All right. Let's close out. Did you get something tonight?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Let's go there. So I don't want you to think that I'm just saying to you, know, that, hey, you know, you choose to be happy just means that all, you know, just everything's going in my life. I'm just going to be, you know, dancing around the living room all the time. And, you know, kids are going to be hollering at me to calm down and everything. I know there's things, but you don't stay there. You don't stay in those troubled times. You don't camp there. You just pass on through. You do like David did. He had a good cry. And then he said, well, all right, what's the Lord saying about it? All right, we got that out. Now what's God saying? What's he saying to do? Because he's always got a plan to get it all back. Amen. And so, Proverbs 16, and just one verse 20. It says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Yeah. Hallelujah. So listen, you and I, we were made to live by faith. It's not just a good idea. God made us to live by faith. We know the scripture, the just shall live by faith. See, if you live, the Lord showed me this a long time ago. He said, if you live by sight, you know, sight is the natural realm. Sight is the devil's turf. He said, you get over there on his turf, and he will beat you every time. You know, the Bible calls him the God of this world, right? Now, all right, if the Bible says he's God of this world, that means he is the ruler of the world, right? All right, so everything going out in that realm, it's under his power. You understand that? Now, so the Lord showed me this one time. He said, the reason people get beat is because they don't fight the devil in the arena of faith. They try to fight in the arena of sight, and if you do that, the Bible says he blinds the minds of those that don't believe, those that don't have any faith. He blinds their minds, and they can't see the light of the gospel. So if you get over in his realm where he's king at, he get on his turf, he will beat you. Yeah. Remember? You see, remember that in Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians 4:4? He's the God of this world. But if we walk by faith and we get over an arena of faith, that's the faith realm. That's our realm. We can beat him every time. I remember, and those of you that don't know anything about this, you can just kind of listen in for those of us that know a little bit about boxing and so forth. But I remember this a couple years ago or so. There was the welterweight champion of the world was a guy by the name of Floyd Mayweather. And then there was this MMA guy who was stirring things up, and he was the best in his weight class in MMA. His name was Conor McGregor. And so those guys decided they were going to fight each other, and they were going to use boxing rules. And so, I watched it. I don't say it's scriptural. I don't say it's godly. It's not going to be in heaven, but I figure if two people are going to fight each other, I'll watch you do it, you know. And I'm not a gambling man, or, you know, I used to be big into gambling, playing poker and stuff. Well, I'd have bet on this fight because I already knew how it was going to turn out. And it turned out a little... I knew this, Conor McGregor, you're getting over in his realm, and he's going to beat you. I knew that. Now, Conor McGregor did much better than I thought he would. He actually did pretty good, but I still would have put all my money, all my millions on Floyd Mayweather because I already knew, man, this is his realm. Now, I also realized that if Floyd Mayweather went over in Conor McGregor's realm, he'd probably last about a minute. Maybe. Because he's getting in a realm where Conor McGregor knows more about than he does. And, you know, you're not just getting hit with boxing gloves. Conor will kick you in the face. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they'll do all kinds of things, you know. And so I realize, and Paul used athletics to make good points about the gospel sometimes about boxers and fighters and racers and so forth. Well, to me, it's a good picture, because if you get out of your realm, you're going to get beat. And a believer's realm is the realm of faith. And if you're trusting God for things to work out, it's going to bring happiness into your life because you're trusting God. Now, you know, I understand that. Once again, that not everything is always going great all the time, 24/7. We all face challenges. Sometimes we face them every day. But we can't live in the land of, you know, no more power to weep, you know. We can't live in that land. We got to live in the land of pursue, overtake, recover all. Get it back. Well, you just, don't you have compassion on me? Well, of course, and Jesus has compassion on you. But that alone, listen, that alone in that area, just because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, it's not going to help you. You've got to use your faith. Right. Yeah. He's touched with it, but he can't do anything unless you step up and use your faith. Right. Amen. And believe God to come out of it. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about tonight as we close out? Well, we're talking about you choose whether you're going to live happy in this life or you're just going to live defeated all the time. Amen. And I'm not letting the devil, people, circumstances take me down. You ever get tempted? Oh, there's sometimes I yield to it, but I don't stay there. Can we be real this tonight with you? There's times I may have days or twos where, you know, I'm moping around and I realize I got to get out of this. This isn't God. This isn't productive. This isn't doing anything. I got to get out of this. Hallelujah. Why? Because really, you know what? Listen, when I'm down, I'll just use me. When I'm down, I'm not in faith. Oh, I can prove that to you from the Bible. The Bible says there's joy and peace in believing. So I realize I'm not in faith, God working this out, or I'd be full of joy. I mean, I may not like my circumstances, but I wouldn't let it steal and rob me of my happiness. Amen. Did you get anything tonight? All right, praise God. I don't know. You know, that's just what I had to share tonight, and so I just believe it's of the Holy Ghost, and I believe that we need to realize that we can choose. We can make a choice. Don't let the devil steal your day every day. You know, if he finds out he can do that, he'll do that every day. He'll be at the foot of the bed waiting on you. You got to be like Wigglesworth, you know. There's a story about Wigglesworth that one time, and I forget where he was preaching at. It might have been in a foreign land. And he felt the presence of the devil come into the room. And Satan actually manifested himself and showed himself to Brother Wigglesworth. He actually manifested in his bedroom. And it's so funny. Wigglesworth turned the light on. He felt some presence in his room, you know. And he turned the light on, and there stood the devil. And I don't know, maybe Pastor Stormont talks about it. I don't know if he talks about it on those CDs we have. But Wigglesworth saw that, and he reached up and turned the light back off and said, "Oh, it's just you." See, when you understand, that's how much authority we have over him. Right. A lot of people don't realize that. Most church doesn't realize that. But we have authority over him. But if you just let him run loose in your life and you know, dictate things and rule things, he'll be obliged to do it. But I've just decided he's not going to run my life. He's not going to make me unhappy. He's not going to keep that stuff on me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Yes. I'm going to enjoy God. Yes. I'm going to enjoy the church, yes, because the church should be the happiest place on earth. Yes. But it's not for a lot of people because they're not entering in. They're not partaking. They're not jumping in. But you got to jump in.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.